This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Dave Mason, David Altman, which of you want to tackle the task of producing the TV Guide description for A Tear in the Sky?
I think Altman should do that.
Okay, I would say, what do you want, like a plot summary? Is that what you're looking for?
I want to know whether to watch this film. I have access to a one-paragraph or two-paragraph description. What would you put in it?
I would say this is a fantastic movie about a team of military personnel, scientists, and different special guests who would try to recapture in real time the Tic Tac that was captured by the U.S. Navy, the Tic Tac UFO, and other anomalies. And they use state-of-the-art military-grade equipment and technology. Special guest appearances by William Shatner, Michio Kaku, Travis Taylor, John Alexander.
Okay, William Shatner. Tell me more about what we can expect from his appearance.
So, you know, I actually occasionally work on his show, The Unexplained. It's pretty well known that he's fascinated by the subject. And I mean, you know, how couldn't he be? His entire life just about is based on space, let alone he's actually almost been there. So, you know, Caroline sits down with him and kind of runs the evidence by him and wants to get his reaction and his opinion on stuff. And apparently from what he was shown and what he learned, he was pretty blown away.
Now, Shatner once told a story about taking a motorcycle in the desert and seeing a UFO. But then 10, 15 years later, he said, he just made that up.
I've got a better one for you. I don't know if you know this. But DeForest Kelly, who played Bones, was a witness to the Battle of L.A. in 1942.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yep, true story.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
Yep.
That's the first time I've heard it.
I'm a big fan of all the old stuff, all the old shows, like, you know, Long John Neville, and starting there all the way up until now, I'm a big fan of anything in the early 90s I can get on Art Bell, you know, stuff like that. And there was a show called, I believe it was The Aberration. And actually, I think Bill Moore even had a show on this channel. And it was in the early 90s, maybe late 80s. DeForest Kelly actually did an interview and he talked about it. And you can find it on YouTube.
He was a good storyteller. Very good interview. That's interesting. Now, I should tell our listeners, they know I'm as old as the hills or beyond the hills. And I actually a couple of times met Long John Neville.
Wow.
People I know were on his show, including my late brother. But I didn't like him. Personally, this guy was, well, we don't want to use the words, this is commercial radio, family-friendly radio. But he was a pioneer. He pioneered this long-form talk show format. He pioneered paranormal talk radio. He had people like Jackie Gleason on his show. All the people you recognize from the 50s and 60s in the UFO field. George Adamski, Howard Menger, Donald Kehoe. Long John had them on.
Gray Barker, Jim Moseley, Timothy Greenback.
That's right.
Yep.
I was never on the Long John show. No, I called a couple of times on the phone.
My favorites are the ones where they talk about Ray Shaver and the Dero, and the one where Kehoe comes on after the debacle that happened when he was shut down, when Kenneth Arnold was supposed to be on the Mike Wallace show with him. That's a good one.
Okay, that's Richard Shaver, by the way. Okay, Richard Shaver and Ray Palmer were both on Long John's show. And I remember that Kehoe was doing, I don't know if this is the one you talked about, where he goes on a CBS documentary. And I think it's live. It's not like now you have the videotape and you have the five-second delay. So they can delete something. And supposedly, he said this in one of his books, Supposedly, they censored every important point he wanted to make about UFOs. He got so frustrated that once he was on the show, he deviated from the script and they cut him off. And, of course, CBS explanation is he deviated from the script that he agreed to, and therefore he had no alternative. He said, no, I'm being censored. Well, you know, if you were expected to follow a script, you agreed to be on the show, my opinion is follow the script.
Yeah, and Kenneth Arnold was originally supposed to be on that same show, and at the last minute, they flew him in, and he refused to go on, and he stayed in his hotel room and never did the show.
They expected him to stick to a script, too, probably.
Yeah, yep. And I think that's exactly why he didn't do it.
I probably wanted him to say that it was probably a weather balloon. That was kind of the fallback explanation for everything that zipped around in the sky.
Sure, a weather balloon that could fly at 1,200 miles an hour.
Yeah, and he actually...
Nine of them.
Yeah, right. He said they were crescent shaped in the vague, but they got the names because he said skipping on water. They appeared to be skipping, so it was called like the saucer skipping on water, and hence the name being coined. But he actually claimed less than he thought it was faster, but he thought no one will believe him if he says at this speed. So his actual official statement of speed was less than what he actually believed them to be. And I find it fascinating that people who are not pilots, who have not had that kind of experience or training, are often the armchair experts on this, and that they know more than pilots, and so they'll give these prosaic explanations. And I think that's what we all need to do, is just become armchair experts and not really be experts in our field. That way we'll know more than the people who actually work in those fields.
We kind of denigrate experts.
There are no experts in this field.
I'm just thinking of experts in general.
I can't remember which debunker it was, but it was somebody on national television basically said that pilots, you know, you couldn't trust, you know, pilots' observations of UFOs because they're not good observers.
It was either Menzel or Class.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I would like to ask those people, okay, so if you don't trust their observational skills, then please don't fly on any of the commercial aircraft or because they're not as skilled as you are.
Take a train.
Yeah, this is somebody more recent. When I say recent, probably like the 1990s, that sort of thing.
Yeah. What's their definition of a more trained observer? I mean, this is, you know, I'd like to know who that person is. I mean, often we have NASA astronauts testifying on what they've observed. Are they better observers than our NASA astronauts? I mean, trying to figure that one out.
Also, astronauts, a large number of them have a lot of flight experience. That's where we got our first pool of astronauts. They're flying. Let's get someone who's skilled at flying a normal plane.
Right. Right. It takes that level of competence to go from that level to becoming an astronaut. And to get to that astronaut level and to be picked, you have to have superhuman skills. I mean, there's just no question.
Well, then we can always hire George Takei. I mean, he was the helmsman for the Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
Going back to the movie, A Terror in the Sky. I know the way that these types of films are, you know, conceived and shot. How closely did the finished product end up being like it was originally conceived? Because, you know, I mean, I know you producers come up, you know, well, let's do a movie about such and such, but then, let's do a movie about UFOs, but it also depends on the type of wild footage you end up getting during the production. So how closely did the finished product match what was originally conceived?
We're going to have the answer to that question from Dave Mason and David Altman. On the other side with Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, guys, either of you can have the answer. Dave Mason, David Altman. How close did the finished product adhere to the original concept?
You want me to take this one, Dave?
Yeah, you go ahead and take that, and then I'll follow up.
So just to begin, you know, like Dave was talking about earlier with Caroline taking us on and taking this project on. I mean, it was a huge gamble for her. You know, we had never worked together on an expedition doing research out in the field before. You know, for all she could have expected us to get out there and not like each other. You know, like somebody might have got on somebody's nerve and the gear wouldn't work. And, you know, who knows what kind of people these guys really are. So, you know, kudos to her for taking that chance, because, I mean, obviously it paid off. As far as chronological order and real time, you know, we were only out there for 5 days. It pretty much happened the way that you see it. I mean, it's unbelievable how you can get that much footage. You know, I felt like we were out there for a lot longer than it seemed. But the way that everything happened, it happened pretty much the way that you see it. I mean, the big capture happened, you know, the big triangulation happened, I mean, probably within, what, an hour, 2 hours, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, it happened rather quickly. And I was confident we were going to record some anomalous objects just by the array of cameras that we had and eyes on the sky and night vision devices. So I fully expected we were going to be able to acquire something. And we knew that if we didn't have data, so if we went out there and spun our wheels and we had overcast and rain and la-di-da, that what was going to wind up happening was at least we'd be able to document the process of using the equipment and sharing the experience. So there was still potentially a movie. It just wouldn't have been as good had we not recorded anything. So but I was confident. I mean, I knew from my experience in running my equipment from my location that going to this hotspot area that we were going to acquire data.
And also, not a lot of people know, I mean, people are learning now because we've been doing a couple of interviews, but for the first two or three nights that I was on Catalina Island, I wasn't able to record anything because of a mix-up. I was out there with night vision, and I was seeing things and kind of freaking out because I couldn't show anybody what I was seeing. And then we figured out that we could record the night vision through our iPhones. And, I mean, that's pretty much what saved our part of the movie, because without that, you just would have had us pointing and yelling at objects and not being to show anybody what we were looking at. We got lucky on that.
We should point out here that the iPhone is perfectly capable of producing 4K footage for a movie.
Yeah, they're making full-length features on iPhones now.
Yeah, but they'll never replace the RED cameras.
No, of course not.
You think with a RED camera, the money you spend, you could buy, what, 1,000 iPhones? No, 100 iPhones.
But you could see subtle differences, depth of field, color, chromatic correction. I mean, that's why they still make those cameras, because the professionals are seeing that, you know, they can do the comparisons and find out, you know, the big differences. Just as I see in thermal camera or FLIR technology, you can buy the consumer-grade FLIR cameras that will give you what will be more somewhat impressive stills, but when it comes to video feed, they don't have the capability of properly sampling the microbolometer to give stable and clear motion images. So you get smeared images, where if you spend some real money on a thermal camera, you'll get more crisp and clear images of objects in motion. I'm sure that's true in studio work, that the larger $50,000, $100,000 cameras offer much greater capability in depth of field, exposure rates, frame rates, and just overall clarity.
Why did you choose the areas that you did, Catalina Island and around there? Dave Mason, you referred to it as a hot spot. I mean, I know that the military, you know, recorded numerous UAP activity. Is that the reason why?
That's one of the reasons. As Kevin Day had identified on his 5-1 radar system, that these objects were, they hovered over the area between Catalina Island and Laguna Beach, like over the ocean, and then they ascended down south of Catalina Island. And you have that report, and then there are numerous, residential reports between Catalina Island and Laguna Beach, And much of that information to be found, like with Preston Dennett's work, where he reports, you know, that kind of phenomenon. And given the volume of reports, there's even a video, I think, from the 1960s of an object that was going over Catalina Island, a cylindrical object that just went right over it. And this was filmed on, I think, 8mm film. It suggests that there is some higher level of activity that we figured that would be a good place to start with and try to confirm whether or not there's activity within the region.
Also, you know, I did a lot of research on the area in the year, even before we knew we were doing a movie. We originally weren't even thinking movie. We just wanted to go and do this expedition. So I had begun doing some background on the area. I was able to befriend the editor of the Catalina Island newspaper. His name's Jim Watson. He was kind enough to send me a book that he had written. That's how anomalous this area is, that this guy was able to write an entire book on different accounts. And one of the things he also sent me was a front page newspaper article from the Catalina Island newspaper from July 7th, 1947. He sent me that along with the handwritten account of two Army veterans who photographed and spotted three flying discs on the beach. Now, we were just talking about Kenneth Arnold, and this sighting kind of goes along with that whole week, you know, starting, you know, even earlier with Maury Island to Kenneth Arnold to the whole week up until Roswell. I've got about 7 or 8 different front page newspaper clippings of different states on the cover, people spotting discs. And it ended at Roswell, which made me think that whatever Kenneth Arnold saw, whatever these pilots saw, and whatever crashed in Roswell had to be the same thing. I mean, what are the odds of all these sightings happening on the West Coast and it being something different?
But when you get to Maury Island,
I think there's a general perception...
Right. Then it's a hoax.
I know. But still.
And, of course, Roswell, there's lots of information there that's contradictory, although even those who are skeptical agreed something happened. And the question is,
right.
what is that something?
Right. I mean, maybe they might have seen the same newspaper clippings I saw and said, hey, this is what we can use to cover up this special, you know, project that we have going. There's all these, you know, flying disc reports. Let's just say that our special, you know, black project was one of those. I mean, who knows what happened?
We know what's going to happen here with Dave and David and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
No more gas from Russia to Finland. The Kremlin has cut off the Nordic country. The move comes after Helsinki refused to pay Russian energy giant Gazprom in rubles and after Finland announced it wanted to join NATO. The break is easier for Finland compared to other European nations. Russian imports of natural gas accounts for some 5% of Finland's total energy consumption. North Korea says it found nearly 220,000 more people with feverish symptoms, even as leader Kim Jong-un claimed progress in slowing a largely undiagnosed spread of COVID-19. He hinted at easing virus restrictions to help an economy on the decay. Experts say Pyongyang is certainly downplaying the true scale of how the virus has spread among the unvaccinated populace. Once again, the major indexes on Wall Street lost, this time for the sixth straight week. This is USA Radio News. The youngest of 10 black people killed at a Buffalo supermarket in a racist attack laid to rest this weekend. 32-year-old Roberta Drury was at the Tops Friendly Market to buy groceries at the time of the shooting. The Syracuse area native moved to Western New York a decade ago to take care of her brother as he fought leukemia. Drury is known by friends and family as Robbie. She's being remembered as big-hearted and quick with a laugh. A tornado that touched down in northern Michigan killed at least two people and injured more than 40. The twister hit the town of Gaylord Friday. Video posted online showed extensive damage along the city's main street. One building appeared to be largely collapsed. Utility poles and debris are found along the side of the road. A shelter has been set up at a church. The last time Gaylord had a severe windstorm was more than two decades ago. A state of emergency has been declared for Otsego County. Former President Trump has paid the $110,000 in fines for being held in contempt by a New York state court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's pursue that very briefly. So those early cases, how many of them could have been the result of some kind of test?
Well, I mean, obviously it's all speculation. We could speculate all day. The thing is that besides all of the others, Catalina sticks out because there are reports going on even further back. The Battle of Los Angeles, 1942. Whatever that object was that was seen and shot at, when it left, it went south and headed out towards Catalina Island and went out to the ocean. So there's something even before then. There's reports of people seeing green door-like objects hovering above the island that looked like it was opening and closing. I was able to speak to a lot of fishermen captains who had some crazy experiences out on the water. One of them happened at about 3-4 in the morning. Only people awake on this fishing boat were the captain, and I believe it was a guy just kind of hanging out in the galley, and all of a sudden the entire cabin lit up as bright as day for about 5 seconds. And the guy in the galley says to the captain, "Hey, you know, what was that?" And the captain said, "It's nothing to worry about. It happens all the time."
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Regular basis, they see strange things out there. Unfortunately, they have the same stigma as pilots. They don't like to talk about it. They keep it to themselves. I spoke to whaling captains. I befriended a guy named Patrick who owns a company called Horizon Boats. He's actually also a producer for Shark Week, and his business that he runs, he rents out the shark cages to divers that want to swim with the great whites out at Guadalupe. And he himself had told me about sightings. He was actually working on trying to get me some video from some eyewitnesses, and so far I got nothing.
That happens a lot. Videos promise, but rarely shows up.
Yep. Unfortunate.
Yeah, and when it does show up, it's nothing usually like what's been described.
Yeah, they see objects coming in and out of the water all the time. And, you know, then you have to look back and see what was going on, you know, during the Cold War with all the USO reports coming from Russia and the submarines. The croakers, they call them. They call them croakers because when they were listening to them underwater, they sound like frogs that were croaking. They saw so many objects and were chased and tried chasing so many that they just gave up on it eventually and just said, there's nothing we can do about it. Just like the skies.
Well, I think when it comes to UFOs, it doesn't seem to me as if they're equipped to investigate anything that extends too far beyond the normal.
That I agree with. Yeah, our technology is limited, particularly underwater. We're using sonar for depth searches, and we can't use cameras unless we drop cameras down because of the attenuation factor of the water. And if you're using sonar and you're trying to, say, investigate some phenomenon, you're telegraphing by sending out a sonic pulse. You're telling whatever's down there, we're coming to look for you, so they could quickly disperse it if there was a craft or vehicle underwater.
But wouldn't that largely depend on whether the source responsible for that underwater thing even cares?
That they may care. Who knows? Perhaps they make appearances just to give the suggestion that they are there. But certainly they could see anything approaching and or respond by disappearing. And especially if you're telegraphing with sonar pulses, I mean, that's just a big beacon saying, you know, you're shouting out to whatever's down there that you're approaching. So you could quickly scatter your technology from being detected.
Okay, now that's a good point that you make about whether or not they care if they're seen or whether or not they're actually demonstrating that they're there, because some of the interviews that you had with these Navy pilots, you know, the one case where they said it's just like a dozen of them just seemed to drop out of the sky in front of them, you know, clearly whatever this phenomena is, it can choose not to be seen. But these days,
right?
Obviously, you know, they want to be seen, which is
yes.
Why they have lights.
right, exactly. That's I was going to ask that earlier in the program. These things can, you know, obviously appear and disappear at will. Yet at night, they might as well just hang a big glowing sign on themselves that says UFO.
Right. And one of the things I've noticed over, you know, the historic documents, and you look at, you know, photographs and stills that have been taken from the 1950s on, what we have from those timelines were more spectacular, closer encounter type photographs. And many of them that were just irrefutable. And today, what happens is I think it has to do with the resolution of cameras. So if you have a higher resolution camera, whatever you're going to photograph is going to be at a greater distance. And if you have a cheap Polaroid camera, you might capture something that's closer in. It's as if information is being shared with us on a limited basis. And then if you do have a spectacular camera ready to photograph something, that camera will shut down and not be able to photograph. The battery will die or the file will get corrupted. And that seems to be the norm. I had an experience with a thermal camera. I was using it during daylight. I was setting things up. I was also going to be doing astrophotography. And I watched in the monitor, and I saw something zigzag. I got the video. It zigzagged, and the camera malfunctioned. And it had a built-in what they call a Stirling cooler, which is a compressed helium cooler that super freezes the sensor on the camera so that it can range cold temperatures. And that cooler pump, which just kind of makes a 60-cycle buzz, dropped down an octave to about 30 cycles. It just dropped down, and then the camera malfunctioned. And I think it created a magnetic disturbance on the camera, but it was some sort of a close proximity object that approached the camera. And I certainly didn't see anything or hear anything. Only the video is what was revealing to it. And with so many reports of pilots saying they're flying their craft, they're pursuing, and then their cockpit lights shut off or their instrumentation shuts off, or if they try to engage them with combat, their instruments shut down. There's something going on where they can interact within at an electron level and actually affect specific components and have them redirect or malfunction on a very, on a small electron level, much like what happened at the at nuclear silos, where each one of them were shut down one by one, and then demonstrating the skills of we can shut down specific instruments at specific times.
That would be Malmstrom, right?
Correct.
Another thing that was mentioned during the hearings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, they portrayed ignorance of that, but you would think here, like with anything else, they tried desperately to ignore anything that occurred before Tic Tac.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like that the agenda was to give a minimalist approach on it and only focus on things that, that had an explanation and just by omission not tell the entire story.
And, of course, you know, they did have a classified briefing after, but it's not necessarily anything that would have been more illuminating.
Right. I think, unfortunately, we're not going to get what we want to see because of what could potentially be a retaliation if there's an admission that we gave you this cover story and what really happened was this. We're going to wind up being very disappointed and untrusting.
Now, there was something there which is kind of screwy about possible penalties for people who report false sightings.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that could be, if it, say, for example, I could see there would be validity to that. So let's say you claim that there's an object near an Air Force base and you give it some big threatening description, and then they mobilize all of their aircraft into the sky over some kind of a hoax. I would think that there would be, there would probably be a necessity for that. I mean, it's like filing a false police report.
We've got more to come with Dave, David, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammie, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, yes, this is the suggestion that if you cause the military to scramble as a result of a false report of a UFO, it'd be like reporting a false crime to the police department.
I would hope it would take more than a phone call to send out the Air Force or anybody.
They'd have to identify that there was an actual threat.
Yeah, it can't just be some wacko calling on the phone that would cause them to get everything in a flat condition.
There'd be jets in the sky. 24/7 we'd see jets.
I know that at times they get bird flocks that have triggered their radar, you know, where they encounter that. But who knows whether or not they appear to be bird flocks, and maybe they're not.
Just think of the drones, man.
Right.
I don't think, though, that fake reports are that numerous. Maybe on YouTube, because there are a lot of people who produce or try to produce UFO photos but don't have the skills. And you think here, you know, software is cheap. Professional video editing software is cheap. Certainly someone who took the time to study for a few minutes would be able to come up with something credible.
I've seen a few. I'm going to debunk a couple. There was one with the moon, and these objects appear to come around the edge of the moon, and then it casts these shadows. There were a couple things wrong in physics. The shadows were casted at a wrong angle with respect to the solar luminance of the moon. So that was flaw number one. Flaw number two was, as they were coming around the circumference of the moon, they doubled or tripled in size. Well, the moon's circumference is I think it's, what, about 7,000 miles diameter. So we'd only have a proximity of maybe 2,000 miles approaching toward the Earth. And since it's nominally 240,000 miles distance, you would have an apparent size change that would not be visible by coming around the edge. So I knew that whoever created this video, it was impressive, but they didn't really study their laws of physics to do it properly. A second one that went viral, it was also a daytime shot of the moon. It was a crescent moon, and there was this mysterious object that looked like the letter C that was sort of cloud-shaped. And I'm looking at this video. I said, well, that's intriguing. It looked real. Of course, the moon was about a half phase, and then the camera pans back, and there's power poles and trees, and I'm looking at and I'm saying, wow, there's a major flaw here. The shadows casted by the sun on the power poles indicated that the sun was at a 5 o'clock position, but the moon phase indicated that the sun was illuminating from an 11 o'clock position. It didn't make any sense. And clearly to me, it was a hoax video, because it was impossible to have the sun illuminating from that angle, but casting shadows from a totally different angle. And this was one where somebody did great work, they didn't understand the basics of astronomy and you know, where the sun is in relation to the moon and the earth.
I see so many of these CGI UFO videos, you know, especially on YouTube, and you know, you almost instantly know that it's a hoax or it's a fake video, especially the ones where, I mean, you know, it starts out, you know, you see the disc, it looks good, but then it suddenly like shoots away with a flash of light. You know,
right.
it's that flash of light, and it's like, oh, come on.
And then what I always like is, because, and it's over a mile away, at the instant the flash, there's an explosion.
Uh-huh.
And they don't understand that the speed of sound, you're going to have about a 5-second delay if there's a sound made from a mile away. It'll be have approximately a 5-second delay. And so they forget that aspect of it. I knew this was coming when COVID broke out. I'm going, okay, watch out. People are sitting behind computers, nothing to do but make fake UFO videos so they can play hoaxes and make money on YouTube. That's really what it comes down to. And it's sad because what happens if you have somebody who's new to the phenomenon and you ask them, hey, if you want to learn about UFOs, go on the internet. Well, if you were to tell somebody that, you're going to have 99% of them come back and say, hey, this is crap. I don't believe anything. If you're shown if you go to the wrong sources, you're just going to shake your head and say, you know, this is just some sort of a fad. It's not real. And I can understand where some debunkers have developed their opinion, because oftentimes first impressions are the ones that are the longest lasting. So once you've made your mind up on something, it's very difficult to shift you. It's much like, you know, political parties. You know, if you're Democrat or Republican, it's very rare for somebody to deviate from one party to the other.
Not only that, but there's so many new people, learning about this subject that I see going around videos being posted claiming to be real that were debunked by people 10, 15 years ago, and they're being regurgitated again as real.
Sure. And they may not care. They may just want to put up content. That's all. And they don't care whether it propagates negative feedback or it hurts their name. Yeah, a lot of people, they will ride the negative press is better than no press.
Now, some years back, I won't mention the names, we featured someone who ran a YouTube channel with UFO videos. And we pointed out to them, hey, you know, most of these are fake. And they said, well, that's up to the viewer to decide, which meant, of course, the more views, the better. It doesn't matter whether they're factual or not.
Yep,
right.
Yep, I know, yep.
But we're not going to name those people. I think the page has since been taken down.
You also have to notice that a lot of channels that are like that have got hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
And that's the formula that seems to work, is if you try to run an honest game in this. It's just like being an honest researcher. The honest researchers aren't self-promoting. They're busy doing their research. And then you have others who will self-promote on the backs of those researchers and try to garner the attention. And this is what really complicates this, because there's real data. There's certainly, you know, credible stories with credible provenance. But it's in a clutter of false data. And this is what makes it very difficult, because all these fake narratives. I mean, I could make up a story and say, a spaceship landed and this three-headed alien with six eyes came out and talked to me, and it was purple, and then it took off.
And it was a one-arm, one-horn flying purple people eater.
It looked like that. So say I made that story up. And then I made a picture of it on the internet, and somebody takes that picture and puts it on another website and then embellishes a story and says, well, this is a true story. And it comes from somebody else who says, well, gosh, if they say it's true and that's a credible person, then I'm going to copy and paste it. This is how the bogus information gets copied and pasted and replicated. And then if it festers for a few years, then it gets indoctrined as factual.
That's how Serpo started.
a lot of these stories, they just get propagated. So yeah, you're giving debunkers the field day on these false narratives and these false stories. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that because I've seen people who are credible in this source who have been given false information and they're being duped by it. And even if I, you know, say, I confront them on it and say, look, you know, this came from this source, it came from this. And then I find myself having to, I'm being attacked for even suggesting that, you know, you've got to question validity on these things and look at the provenance and not go off all of the, what you hear is anecdotal information. You know, I hear people say, oh, you should know our military's got 20, 30 years of advanced technology that's above civilian. And then I ask, well, where'd you hear that? Oh, somebody told me that. Okay, well, so somebody told you that. Who was that somebody? Oh, you know, it's a guy that I know. Well, sorry. He's probably heard it from somebody else. This is just information that's being relayed. Is it true? It could be true. But understand that the information that you're trusting is just hearsay information.
Well, that's the entire problem with social networks today. You have everybody thinking they can be bloggers or videographers. It doesn't matter about the factual nature. And you get so many contradictory, crazy claims about any subject. It's not just UFOs or anything else. What do you
like
believe?
The telephone game.
Say what?
It's like the telephone game almost.
You mean calling somebody who calls somebody?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And then you end up, yeah, I remember.
It gets embellished and everything. And by time, you know, you start off with a call to a friend. Hey, I saw this. And by time it gets to the fifth person, it's, hey, I saw an eight-winged octopus flying, carrying cupcakes. You know, like
this. Or this is another problem. And this is a good point because I've had people, I'll go to an event where I haven't seen friends for 20 years and they're talking about something I did. And then they'll tell another friend. And it's not only off, it's often grossly exaggerated.
Okay, we will continue with that. With David and Dave and Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D. for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.